Hello, I'm Marco Zaza.
And I'm David Zaza.
This is Concertina Died and Other Stories of the East Side. Over the years, whenever our family was gathered around the dining table, I would tell stories about growing up on the east side of Youngstown, Ohio. These are fond memories of my youth, of my Italian immigrant parents, and of the shared experiences of family. I hope that some of the pleasure and the sense of the past that I get from telling them comes through in this podcast.
...1938 was a fair while ago, and a rather tumultuous year in world history. But in our family history, it's a great year. Marco Zaza came into this world, the fourth of five siblings, feet first, ready to run through the 20th century and into the 21st, carrying his family all along the way. I know that Marco has delighted in my own ambitions to filter our family history and his wonderful stories into this podcast. But I love thinking about how proud his own parents would have been had they known how deeply he cared for this history himself. In recording these stories and memories, he's brought the family history to vibrant life, securing the actions and feelings of his parents, their families, his siblings, his neighbors growing up, and my mother's family as well, as a robust resource for the younger generations of this family, and for future generations yet to come. But for now, let's just set the scene as Pasqualina Zaza brings Marco into this world in 1938 in a hospital in Youngstown, Ohio, and also as this one birth brings some good luck to his father's gamble on a local lottery game.
Birthday Story. In May 2007, having just celebrated my 69th birthday, I started thinking about my mother and the story she told me about the day I was born. The year was 1938. My father owned a large truck which he used for whatever job could earn him some money. It seems that the family was moving to Baltimore, Maryland, and they offered Papa $50 to move their household belongings. That was an extravagant amount in 1938, and although Mama was due to give birth any day, he agreed to go. Before leaving, he told Mama that he had a dream that she gave birth to a son, and feeling this was good luck, he gave her $1 to play on the numbers game, referred to locally as the bug. The payoff, if his number was drawn, would net him $50. Keep in mind the year when I tell you that Mama was appalled that he would spend a whole dollar on gambling. However, she said she would place the bet with the local bug lady, and so Papa went off to Baltimore. Mama had second thoughts, and reasoned that with a dollar she could probably buy enough food for the family for at least 2 days. So she placed only a nickel bet on the number Papa had chosen, and put 95 cents into her small coin purse to use at the grocery store. She never made it to the store, though, because she went into labor, and within hours was in the hospital giving birth to a son, namely me. Papa came home to learn that he had a new son and that his number had been picked for that date, May 3, 1938. After visiting Mama and seeing his new son, he looked forward to collecting his big winnings. Imagine how rich he felt having earned $100 between the job and the bet. Mama said she trembled at the thought of having to tell him she had only placed a nickel bet, which paid off $1. She said Papa was angry, but not for long. He said a son was also a good payoff. Happy birthday to my frugal mama.
Well, dear listener, today is Marco's 83rd birthday.
Oh my God.
How you feeling, Dad? Happy birthday.
Thank you. I don't feel 83. I do sometimes when I get out of bed in the morning when it's hard to get started.
But basically, I feel pretty good.
So, all these years later, this is a sweet story. Was your father a big gambler?
No, he was not. And he always warned me and my brother that we should never gamble money. But he didn't mind putting some money on the bug, on the number, mm-hmm. because I don't think he considered that gambling. He considered that little investment that he could get a return on. So, no, he was not a gambler.
How was this game run? Was this like a government lottery, or was it a
local? No, it was illegal. It was illegal, actually. I don't know where they drew the number from, but it was something in the newspaper.
Really?
Yeah. It might have been in the stock pages, the stock market pages.
So it was a number that was drawn for some other thing or whatever?
The number was drawn for that purpose, for the bug. But
the betting didn't go through that.
The betting was local, with Rose Wally, who lived up the street from us. You place your bet with her, uh-huh. and then you collect it if you won, and if you didn't, she kept the money.
Right, okay. So, small time.
But it was definitely illegal. Joe Cotullo's brother used to run the bug slips from the Arch Bar, which was a local tavern owned by my godparents, down to Rose Wally's house. And when the police knew what he was doing, they chased him. And he ate the slips. Rather than have them find those on him, he ate them.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, if somebody turns our podcast here into a movie, that's going to be a great scene. And so your father would do this occasionally, just
he would play
on
a number.
Whim,
yeah, they based it on dreams, and there you had these books that would say, if let's say you dreamt of your grandmother or you dreamt of winning a lot of money, then this is the number you should play.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what they did. Grandma Labasso, once we went shopping in like a produce stand, and she spent $5.61 or something like that. She said to Mom, "I think I'm going to play this number." So she did, and she hit. She was so delighted. I don't know if she didn't win much money. Maybe Mom remembers, but she was so happy that she had played that number.
You know, I'm thinking, it's your birthday. We're having this conversation. We should go out and play the lottery.
Should we let the machine pick the numbers, or should we pick them?
Maybe we just saw a red cardinal. Maybe we could look it up on
see what on a the, red cardinal what numbers
see what
are
numbers we should play for a red cardinal.
Wasn't that a beautiful bird?
It was great. I'm sorry, dear reader, there will not be a photograph of the cardinal on the website. There are, however, photos on all of the stories at concertinadied.com, including a really wonderful family photo for this story that has like a 1-year-old or younger Marco sitting up on a high table with the rest of his family.
Right next to my mother.
Right next to your mother. So let's talk a little bit about your birthdays. What do you remember? We were just talking about a bicycle you had. Did you get that for a birthday, or was that a Christmas
present? It wasn't a birthday gift. It was just a gift from my godparents.
Who spoiled you.
Spoiled me terribly. I was going to say rotten, but I'm not rotten. So the bicycle was something I wanted, and my godmother bought it for me. Now, Joe Cotullo's parents were not going to buy him a bike because bikes were expensive.
Your parents weren't going to buy you a bike either.
Well, my parents had one bike that belonged to my sister Martha. It was a girl's bike, and it was handed down from Martha to Palma to Nick and to me, but I didn't want to ride it, and then to Jerry, who immediately took it apart.
Right. Right.
And that was the end of the bike. It was a very nice bike, and I think my father got it from somebody who didn't pay him for cheese or watermelons or something. Anyway, he would take payment in any form he could get it. So when I got my bike, and it was a 24-incher, which is a small bike because I'm a small guy.
How old are you when you got this bike?
Oh, I want to say I was maybe 13.
Uh-huh.
My buddy Joe Cotullo and I, Arch Street was kind of like a dead-end street. And so we would ride up and down that street. And sometimes when he got on the bike, I couldn't get him off of it to have my turn.
On your own bike?
On my own bike. he took it over. But eventually I would ride it, and we would ride up and down, and we would fall, and we dented the bike, and we scratched the bike. But I just received a birthday card from him, and he reminded me of those days when we rode the bike on our street and all the scratches and dents we got on our bodies as well as the bike.
Yeah.
So it was nice. It was a nice remembrance.
That is nice. But now, let's get back to birthdays.
Yes.
Do you have any memories of childhood birthdays that were particularly special, events or presents or parties? Or
there were never parties for children. Mm-hmm. Everybody's birthday was celebrated by my parents inviting their friends and my mother making the cake. But it was not an iced cake. It was an Italian rum baba cake that everybody loved except me. Well, I liked it, but it wasn't a birthday cake. I didn't get birthday cakes until Martha started working. And then she would buy a cake, and it had my name on it, and it said, "Happy birthday, Marco."
How old are you? You're like a teenager then.
I was probably 14, 15 years old when that started, yeah. So that was fun. Although, you know, my parents, my mother and father didn't have parties for children, other my friends.
Right.
But they would invite all of their adult friends to celebrate my birthday.
Sure. Okay, so, and Martha started buying you cakes.
And then she started making cakes. Mm-hmm. And those were delicious.
So these are all your childhood and teenage year birthdays. And then what about after that? Did you do anything the 1 year you were in college or the 2 or 3 years you were in the Army? How did you celebrate birthday?
Oh, there wasn't much celebration. I would get cards and letters from my family, of course.
Yeah.
But when I was at college, I probably didn't even want to tell anybody it was my birthday because it wasn't the manly thing to do, you know, celebrate your birthday.
And then after that, you're married. How did you guys celebrate your...
We usually would go out to dinner, and I did have a 40th birthday party, and my sister Palma bought me a ring. It was engraved on the inside, said family. Mm. It had a green stone. It wasn't a real... She worked in a department store, and she worked in the jewelry department, and it was a piece of glass, but it was a beautiful ring. It was a pinky ring. The whole family went in on that with her. So that was a milestone. That was my 40th birthday. And I can't tell you to this day what happened to that ring. Do you know?
I don't.
I didn't give it to you, did I?
No. After that, the milestones come basically every decade.
Oh,
what
yes.
What did you do for 60 or 65 or 70 or 75?
None of those dates stand out in my mind except my 70th.
So your 70th birthday was really fun.
It was. A lot of my family was here that came down for the celebration. And all our friends from our club we belonged to, the Italian club. And it was fun. And it was nice to get gifts. And, of course, you and Stephanie were here, which made it even better for me.
A lot of out-of-towners came.
Yes. Yes.
And what about your parents? Did they celebrate their own birthdays?
They did. Martha saw to it that my mother's birthday got celebrated. And my mother saw to it that my father's birthday got celebrated. In another story I tell about my father's birthday celebration when my sister Palma eloped with her husband.
That's right.
But that's a different story.
That's a few weeks ago, listeners.
And again, those birthdays were for friends. We didn't have family per such. We didn't have aunts and uncles or grandparents. So the other Italians in the area that they were friends with were the people they invited for cake and coffee later.
Sure.
It was fun, and we always looked forward to it because we would sing happy birthday to my father or my mother.
And eat cake.
I think as you get older, the joy of birthdays is for your children if you have them.
Yeah.
And not for yourself.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that we've been together for two of your birthdays in a row now, which hasn't happened in a long time, and we'll be together on my birthday.
Isn't that great?
Next month. I'll turn 39.
Yeah. Just like I'm 38. I want to say one more thing about my birthday in 1938. I was the first of my mother's children to be born in a hospital.
Really?
The very first. And it was a good thing because I was what they call a breech baby, which meant I didn't come out head first.
Were you butt first or feet first?
I think I was feet first, which is an easier delivery than if you're butt first because then they have to straighten you out.
Yeah.
So Dr. Cola, who delivered me, told my mother that if she hadn't been in the hospital, I probably would not have survived. And I do have scars behind my head to verify the fact that I was what they call an instrument baby.
Pulling you out, basically.
Pulling me out. They put clamps around the baby's head, and they pull him out. My father was very upset that my mother had this child in a hospital.
Why?
Because people only went to the hospital to die.
Makes sense. That generation, of course.
That's the way he felt. If you go to the hospital, you die.
Was it that her doctor had told her that you were breech and you had to go
to the hospital beforehand? Yes, he told my mother, you have to have this baby in the hospital. As you know by the story, my father was not in town. He was out of town.
Right.
And she said, I don't want to go in the hospital. He said, you have to go in the hospital. And his name was Dr. Cola, and he spoke Italian. And he spoke to my mother in Italian and told her that she had to be in the hospital. When my father came home from his trip to Baltimore, my mother was in the hospital. And he was furious about that. He was just very upset. But when he saw her and she was okay, and he saw the new baby, he was okay.
He was fine.
Especially since it was a son.
Of course. You know, I get that kind of... It's not even, irrational, but it's not even irrational. It's what they knew.
Right.
People went to hospitals and they died, or they were, because they were super sick.
Right.
That's a terrible association.
Well, she had had several children not in the hospital, and why couldn't she have this one and not in the hospital?
Right.
He was able to rationalize it in his own head.
Was Uncle Jerry born in a hospital?
Yes. But you have to remember that's 5 years later.
That was a geriatric pregnancy.
She was 48 years old when he was born.
48.
Yes.
Wow.
So there was no question about where this child was going to be born.
Yeah, and your father accepted that.
He didn't have a choice. And not a whole lot of people knew that she was going to have a baby.
When she had Jerry?
Right. She was heavy set.
Yeah.
And I don't know that her pregnancy showed that much. But in the end, they had to tell their friends that she was pregnant and she was going to have a baby, because what are they going to do?
Well, there's going to be a baby, so...
Right. They didn't adopt one, so... No. They were ashamed of the fact that they had had sex.
Right. Because they weren't necessarily trying for that baby.
No. That's right.
Whereas when you're young, you can say
we're trying for a baby, so we have sex a lot.
Right. Italians and people from Catholic backgrounds had a lot of babies because they
were always having sex.
And because they didn't believe in any kind of contraception or doing anything to prevent it. So there was no family planning, really.
No.
It was just...
No, that was not a thing then. Family planning was not even heard of.
I mean, it was practiced by some people,
but not a lot of Catholics
were practicing that, because it was deemed to be a sin.
Right.
So...
Still is in some people's minds.
For sure, in the Catholic Church's mind.
Not mine.
I mean...
So that's my birthday story.
Well, happy birthday, Marco.
Thank you.
The stories and memories on Conchitina Died are all Marco Zaza's. The coronavirus pandemic we're still currently in provided me with a lot of quality time with my parents this year, including Dad's and my own birthdays, and Mom made pies and bought cakes. And along with being grateful that my folks, my sister and brother-in-law, and myself all remained healthy during the pandemic, I am so thankful for spending all that time with my parents. Doing so is what made making this podcast possible. It was fun to spend that time with them, digging deep into our family history. Conchitina Died was always planned to be 24 episodes, and this is episode number 23. Next week, we wrap up the entire podcast with wonderful remembrances of many family traditions. And our very special guest, Stanley Tucci, will be offering some of his own Italian-American family memories. Just kidding! The Tucci wouldn't even answer my DMs. So I guess we'll have to make do with just us. So get your party hats and noisemakers ready, Marco. And maybe a hanky or two. And I'll talk to you once more next week.